Welcome to WebCamps TV. I'm one of your hosts, Brady Gaster, and there's your other host, Corey Fowler. It's a rather pixelated picture of Corey Fowler, who could not be here today, but he does apologize and he sends his best. He's on the road this week, which is where I was last week. That's why he probably did something like this last week, and if not, I'll never do it again. So that being said,
Corey doesn't like you that much.
Yeah, he doesn't like me that much. The gentleman to my right obviously needs no introduction. This is Mr. Glenn Block, and this is his Welcome Back Block show. I was going to do a Welcome Back Cotter kind of vibe, but I couldn't get it working.
Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.
And I was going to go to the party store and get us some hats and like a streamer.
Oh, man.
It's close to Halloween, so the party store is now a Halloween store. No streamers.
Well,
no
I will. I'm very happy to hear that you had that intention.
Cool. Oh, yeah, that was definitely my intention. I at least wanted to embarrass him. But Glenn is back from his 3-month trip to Shanghai.
Three months.
He went all through the area doing interesting Azure stuff that he's going to tell you about more eloquently than can I during the show. And then he's going to do a couple of demos that he can obviously do more eloquently than myself. But before that, we're going to go through a couple of things new in Windows Azure websites. Specifically, just one thing new in Windows Azure websites. I'll go ahead and pull that up for you right now, and I'll show you the demo first. This is what the new demo looks like, or what the new sample looks like. It's called Cloud Monitor. Just like some of the other stuff in the SignalR fanboy space, we're just ending it with an
which
R.
You are leading that space.
I am the cheerleader for SignalR, indeed, yes. Mr. Phil Hack is probably out there rolling his eyes. He made a comment, site monitor with an R, SignalR with an R, what's next, Azure with an R? No. What's next is cloud monitor with an R. So I want to go ahead and show you this and show you how it works, and then I want to show you where you can get it. You can see right here that it's basically throwing up trace data for us in this trace window right over here in the trace output. That trace information is actually coming from a Windows Azure cloud service. This website, cloudmonitor.azurewebsites.net, is actually running as a Windows Azure website. The cloud service instances communicate with the website through a SignalR hub that is hosted inside the website. So that if I were to go down here to select processor, and this is just reading from all the default .NET performance counter instances, I can select total, then go over here, processor time, and click the add button. And what you're going to see right in this area is the chart is going to pop up. And this is actually a live chart using HiCharts, HiCharts.com, if you want to take a peek at it. And on intervals, I believe I have it set at 3 seconds or 5 seconds right now. This is actually updating directly from the cloud service. It looks like I might have actually shut it down. Now, there we go. We're actually getting a spike here. So for every instance that you have, you'll have a different line there. And let's say that you want to monitor something in addition to processor. Let's say you want to watch your memory. I can actually select memory here and then go over here to select available bytes, and I'll click add. And the chart will reset as you add different metrics. But as I add this, now you'll see that we have two performance counters kind of ticking away here. We were watching the processor data, and we're watching the memory data. And I can add additional stuff here if I want to. And then all this trace output over here, this is actually the trace.write line or trace write from within the worker role. And basically what I'm doing is I'm passing that up to the hub using SignalR. Now this looks like it's still private because I haven't actually published this yet. By the time you see this show, this will be published. Here is the Cloud Monitor download on the MSDN Code Gallery site. And if you're interested in getting the code itself from GitHub, here is the GitHub repo that we're also creating to show you how to use this tool. Now, if I scroll down and I click on the gettingstarted.md file, kind of follows in line with some of the other samples that the Windows Azure Evangelism team has released recently. We have this Getting Started MD file that kind of walks you through the whole process of setting it up, not only locally on your workstation, but how to set it up in Windows Azure as well. By the time you're watching this show, this sample will be live. I'll have a blog post out there and probably a screencast showing you how to get it set up. But for today, That's our Windows Azure website's window. So that's our window for the day, is this new sample. Next week we're going to have Nir and some of his team members back on the show to do more bigger announcements. So we'll have them back on the show next week. But for the remainder of the show, I'm going to turn it over to Glenn, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about his trip to Shanghai, do a couple of demos. He's going to show us how to use GitHub and Coplex integration with Windows Azure websites to push probably Node code. Yeah, silly question. So he's going to show us how to push a Node website to Windows Azure websites using GitHub and Codeplex.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Without further ado, I'm going to ask him the first question. How was Shanghai and what were you doing over there?
Shanghai was fantastic. I was doing actually a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. The main reason that I went over to Shanghai was to work with, we actually have teams mm-hmm. in Shanghai, and there's a team that is building a new Azure service. Which will come online in the future. They also support some of our internal partners as well.
Cool.
And one of the things that was really cool about that for me was they're actually using Web API.
Nice.
So it was a chance to go actually work with a partner that's putting, you know, internally at Microsoft that's using the technology that I helped to build.
Nice.
So that's, you know, that can be a love-hate kind of
right.
Relationship, but
right.
I'm happy to say that it was more on the love side. They
nice.
were very happy with a lot of the capabilities that Web API provided. I was also doing some feature work while I was there. But then the other thing that I was doing, which was probably the more interesting part for me, was really getting out there with the community and
nice.
Just trying to build some bridges, understand like what Chinese developers, you know, what they care about. Looking at Azure and our cloud, and,
nice.
And you know, Azure is not there proper in People's Republic of China, but it will be there at some point. And really just showing people what we're doing and trying to change some of the mindset. I learned a lot of very interesting things about how they perceive Microsoft. I'm happy to say it's not a negative perception, but in many cases we're like irrelevant in terms of a lot of the startups because they're just doing all open source stuff. A lot of PHP, tons of mobile development.
Cool.
So it was really interesting to meet with a bunch of different startups and just to tell them what we were doing. And
right.
they were pretty shocked like
really?
To hear the way that Microsoft is turning around on open source. And it wasn't like an a message that they had really heard before. So, you know, a lot of us today, we think, oh, everybody knows what we're doing with jQuery
right.
and Linux and all this other stuff, but that's not actually the case in China. So that was really cool. And then the last thing I did, which was really a big community-focused thing, was I worked with a bunch of people to put on an event called WhoJS. And
okay.
WhoJS was the first international JavaScript event, client and server, in China, but definitely
wow.
in Shanghai.
Nice.
And we had a bunch of international speakers come over, great speakers in the Node community, people like Charlie Robbins and you know, Substack, which is James Halliday, who's
mm-hmm.
authored like over 250,000, not that many, but he's authored over 250 modules.
Wow.
And we had people like Steven Sanderson that came, and he actually did a talk on Windows Azure Mobile Services, which was actually received really, really well.
Excellent.
But most of all, I think the community just loved the fact that, you know, this type of event happened. It was a very deep technical,
mm-hmm.
and it was a single track, like a lot of the other JSConf events. So
right.
we worked with some of the JSConf organizers,
good.
Like Chris Williams, to make sure that it was very consistent. And so I think people really appreciated that event, and they appreciated Microsoft's involvement. You know, I had one guy come up to me, which I love this story. He said to me, you know, I used to hate Microsoft. He said, because Microsoft doesn't care about open source,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that's all we use and everything. And he said, you know, that changed at this conference. So I think it really was great, you know, a great chance for Microsoft to get out there. And there's a massive potential in China. I mean,
mm-hmm.
China is a huge country.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just really eye-opening. And then the last thing was just living in China was fantastic.
Nice.
I was there with my family. I learned Mandarin for about 2 months. I'm not the expert, but I can say, you know, ni hao and zai jian and a few bunch
nice.
Of other phrases. So it was just an excellent all-around experience.
That's
and really made me appreciate also Microsoft as a company.
Mm.
Because, you know, we have this global reach and the ability to go to some other country and work there to try to help people with technology
mm-hmm.
Is not something you can do with every company.
Right.
So it really made me You know, many times we go through these phases where we're thinking about, oh, what am I doing? And there's lots of really cool stuff going on with startups and other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was really energized seeing, and it really makes you think about the responsibility that a global company has around the world. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Anyway, in normal Glenn form, that was a non-summarized version of my trip.
Nice. Well, I was in Belgium and Sweden last week. I want to say thanks to the guys for bringing me over again.
Awesome. I love Sweden.
Yeah, it was.
Belgium.
Yeah, it was great. I think we did.
You were with my friend Magnus.
I was with Magnus.
Magnus and I have a deep friendship.
I was with Chris, Mike Martin. Martin Bayou in Belgium.
Fantastic.
Fantastic hosts. I had an awesome Greek driver, our good friend Panos. Panos drove me around Belgium. Highly recommend that. If you ride with Panos, you don't need to go to a amusement park. Your excitement's going to be just fine. I have to tease him for that, but it was a lot of fun. But one of the things that I got out of the Cloudburst conference was I ended up sitting over in the corner talking to a couple of the other speakers who were all enterprise guys, like mm-hmm. enterprise architect guys. And they said that kind of the same thing that you're hearing from the Chinese community is that all the open source focus has really renewed their interest in what we're doing with Windows Azure.
Awesome.
And if you think about it, cloud is just open by default. I mean, if you want to go cloud, you have to support a host of different technologies.
And that's what I tell people. Mm-hmm. When people mm-hmm. ask, I try to say, look, this is really not a no-brainer. I mean, it's a great thing that we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. smart. Mm-hmm. But it's really like, hey, the cloud really has to, for the cloud to be successful, you've got to be able to use whatever you want.
Right.
And from an Azure perspective, we don't care what operating system you're running, mm-hmm. as long as, you know, you're using our service.
Right. And I heard some of the same stuff when I was over there. People were surprised that we're supporting PHP and Node and other stuff. So
Linux OSs.
Yeah, Linux OSs. One. That one came up a lot. So it is an exciting time.
Absolutely.
I definitely think it's good.
Absolutely.
And speaking of excitement, Glenn has some demos for us, but right before we do that, we have to make a couple of technical changes here. So cue the static.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
So you already stole all my thunder, Brady. You weren't actually, you were supposed to say, I thought we agreed that what you were going to say is, and today you're going to see some cool things with deployment.
Today you're going to see some really cool things with deployment, because Glenn's here.
So what I'm going to show today is definitely about deployment.
Okay.
And if, as many of you know, we published a while ago a set of tools both for PowerShell and mm-hmm. CrossPlat mm-hmm. for publishing to Windows Azure. Currently on the PowerShell side, we don't support Windows Azure websites, but mm-hmm. that is coming very soon.
Good stuff.
I see another show coming up.
Yes, hopefully.
But on the CrossPlat CLI side, we mm-hmm. actually have a command line tool. It's called Azure, and you can see here mm-hmm. that if I type Azure, you can see Azure, and I always have to show the best part, which is the ANSI art.
Because
I mean, if this command didn't do anything else, the fact that it has ANSI art is like instant props.
It is good.
And you can
it
just stare at it all day, and you just see how all this work is just getting done. You don't understand why.
Yeah.
It's the power of the ANSI art.
That's good stuff.
It is.
Yeah, Hansman wrote something on his blog about that. I think Corey kind of went off on it when he was on the show one day talking about the ANSI art, so he loves it too. That's good stuff.
So when you use this tool, you can actually create a site. As a matter of fact, I'll create one right now.
Okay.
So I'll say Azure Site Create GB Test. Mm-hmm. And I actually have the ability when I create that site to also add a switch to say that I want to create a Git repo. And that Git repo is a private repo that's hosted in Windows Azure.
Okay.
So then I can actually do a push. I can commit and I can push. I'm not going to do all that now because many of you have already seen that already. But we heard a lot of people saying, hey, you know, it would be great if I could actually integrate with my projects mm-hmm. that are out there on mm-hmm. GitHub or on CodePlex. Mm-hmm. There's particularly a lot of open source projects are out there. But there are also a lot of companies, including this one, that are developing things even in private repos mm-hmm. That are out on GitHub, or many have both a hybrid of private and mm-hmm. public.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy to announce that one of the features we recently rolled out to Windows Azure was that ability to integrate those offerings so that I can basically push to GitHub or push to CodePlex, mm-hmm. and automatically that deploys to my Windows Azure website.
Awesome.
And that works with Node.js. And one of the things that we support in Node, which is really cool, is when you push an app, if you push a package.json, mm-hmm. and the package.json is a manifest that specifies your packages, we download those packages on the server. And that works as well when you do the integration with GitHub or the integration with CodePlex.
Nice. So if you push a Node site that has packages and modules, it'll actually pull all those in on a need-to-need basis?
Exactly. So what will happen is I will not publish the packages. I will publish the package.json. So our cool. CLI, for example, creates for you a gitignore file.
Mm-hmm.
You can see I have that gitignore there. And what that gitignore is saying is that when I'm going to push to Git or GitHub, which is still Git, don't actually publish the node modules folder,
okay.
because I'm going to expect that the server is going to download that for me.
Gotcha.
And in this case, even when I integrate with GitHub, I will still get that download feature or with CodePlex.
Gotcha.
Okay, so first, just to run the app, it's a really simple app.
And that's sort of like not pushing your packages folder if you're using
exactly.
NuGet.
Okay. Exactly. Just like same thing with NuGet. Yep.
Okay.
So here I have a very simple boilerplate Express app. You guys have seen me demo this a lot. I actually love Express because of the fact that it comes with this CLI tool,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so easy to just get a really simple Node app going. That depends on different modules.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. It's local. It works. So what I'm going to do is I just created that site, but I want to now enable that site to be integrated with CodePlex or with GitHub.
Okay.
We do not yet support that in our CLI tool.
Okay.
That is a point in time thing. We're
okay.
going to add that both to our Node CLI and to our PowerShell CLI.
Okay.
But what I can do from the CLI, which is quite nice that a lot of people don't know about, is I have this nice little nifty command called Azure Site Portal. And what Azure Site Portal does, all it does is launch the browser for you, but it means you don't have to remember any URLs, create your own shortcuts. It's a very simple command to just learn. And once you know it, then you can easily bounce back and forth from the command line to the portal.
Nice.
So here you'll see that I have my website, my GB test. And I can go now to deployments. And from the deployments tab, you see that I now have new options. I used to just have the ability to git deploy. And it shows me here, here's my git repository. But what I want to do is I'm going to start off deploying from my GitHub project. So what it's going to allow me to do is authorize Windows Azure. So I'm basically going to log into GitHub with my credentials.
Mm-hmm.
I've already logged into GitHub and I've already done the authorization. So you can see here that it's now showing me all my available projects
mm-hmm.
from my repo. So I'm going to choose GB test.
Would that show you all your public projects?
It will.
Okay. Okay.
So we don't support private as of yet.
Okay.
But that is also a point-in-time thing.
Okay.
So if I go now to deployments, I should see shortly that it will be starting to publish.
There you go.
So you can see that what happens is Git has the ability to do these post-event hooks.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're basically doing is when you wire up your GitHub repo, we now set up a post-event hook on the GitHub side so that anytime any activity happens in terms of pushing
right.
to that repo, automatically Azure will pick that up and it will pull that down.
Okay.
So now if I go to browse, we'll see that it's live, right? So now what I can do is go back to my terminal window and let's go modify something. So I'll go to my view here, my index.jade, and I'll say welcome to title from welcome to title using GitHub. Okay, so now I've saved that. And if I look at my status, you'll see that I now have modified this index.jade.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go commit. And then I'm going to now push to that repo. Now I previously configured my remotes with both my CodePlex repo and my GitHub repo.
Okay.
So you can see here that origin is my GitHub repo. So I'll say git push origin master. Now one of the things you'll notice here if you've worked with our stuff before is normally when you would push to our Git repos, we don't support SSH yet. So normally I would get prompted for a username and password,
right.
But I did not.
Right.
That's the beauty of the GitHub integration, because GitHub actually supports SSH.
Right.
So I was able to just use SSH. It worked very naturally. Mm-hmm. And now if I go back over here, I should see that I've got another deployment, which just happened, made a change. You can see it. And now I can go browse. And we can see, welcome to Express using GitHub.
Fantastic.
Okay, so now what we want to do is we want to see how to do the same thing with CodePlex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can only set up my site to deploy to GitHub or CodePlex. Mm-hmm. I can't set it up to go to both.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is let's just go create a new site
mm-hmm.
using the same code because I'm lazy. So what we'll do is we will say Azure Site Create, and we'll call this GBTest2. So that's going to go create my site for me, just like before.
Rather than using the portal, we just go out and do it right here.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, which is really nice.
And if you're interested in some of the stuff that Node's showing with Express or Node.js, and
the
you're
Dev
on
Center.
And you're on Windows, you can download WebMatrix and do a lot of this stuff in WebMatrix, which supports IntelliSense editing now for Node.js and for basically any other language you can think of. And if you were to pull down a module such as Express, they've actually added support for all that as well. So you could have IntelliSense for different modules such as Socket.io, Jade, Express, you name
it. The IntelliSense support in WebMatrix is actually fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have responded really, really well to WebMatrix. And I even know some folks that are working on Macs that are basically running VMs and using like coherence mode of Parallels so they could use WebMatrix.
Nice.
So it's a really, really cool... Really, really cool, the support that they've added.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to go back into the portal. Okay, so we can see now that GBTest2, the site that I just created, has now been deployed.
Mm-hmm.
So what I can do is run over to GBTest2. I can go to Deployments tab, just like I did before. And now what I'll do is instead of deploying from my GitHub project, I will deploy from my CodePlex project. So now what I need to do is authorize Windows Azure so that I can connect to CodePlex.
Okay.
I'll go do that authorization. And then what you can see here is it's now queried CodePlex, and just like it did for GitHub, it's showing me the list of available projects. I will choose GBTest, and I will click OK. And once I do that, it should start to kick in to do my deployment.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that it's deploying
mm-hmm.
as before. Now, this is in the original state because I've not got that update. So for symmetry here, let's go back. And let's now change our view again. And let's say using CodePlex.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I will do is check my status. You can see that I've same thing. Do git commash am, another change. And then this time what I'm going to do is I've actually set up a separate remote for CodePlex.
Right.
So I'm going to push to CodePlex. I'll enter my username and password. And then we will see another deployment kick off with my change. Now, one of the things you didn't see was the npm part running.
Right.
But it actually did run, and I will show you in the logs. Well, first off, you see it's working,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't publish the modules,
right.
so you
right.
know it's actually working.
Right.
But the portal gives you full access to see exactly what happened. So I can drill down into details about my deployments.
Okay.
Let me just show you if I click here. And the portal's done a really nice job. You can see here that it's running npm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in both cases, it ran npm for us. And now if we go to browse.
There we go.
So that is the new continuous deployment feature.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think it's really going to work well today for a lot of open source projects, which are all public anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we absolutely will be adding more support for things like private
nice.
Repos
nice.
In the future.
And I know that one thing that was also added with the GitHub and CodePlex integration is the ability for you to push from specific branches rather than just master.
That is true.
So you
that
can
is
actually
true.
Do that.
So if you have multiple branches, In your repos, you actually can select which branch you want to use, which is nice too, because sometimes, like for teams, you know. So one of the things I think that to really emphasize here is that the support that we did initially for Git in Windows Azure websites is really as just a mechanism to just push stuff out.
Right.
It's not really been ideal for like team-based development. You end up using a separate repo.
Right.
So what's nice about this model is now the team can all operate out of that same repo, whether it's GitHub or it's CodePlex. And with the branching, you could say, hey, only push to this branch once it's ready to go. That's as part of our production process.
Nice. Just out of curiosity, and I'm just wondering what you may have heard in your travels. I asked a question last week. Well, now that we can push to different branches in GitHub, it seems like organizations that have a situation where they've got like a dev server or a dev environment, a staging environment, and production environment, one of the questions that I've been asked is, what would I do? Would I create two or however many sites in Windows Azure websites and just push to them? How would I do that without branches? Now that you have branches, you can actually probably set that up.
Have you
talked to anybody in the community that's kind of using Windows Azure websites with multiple environments?
I have. I meant to do a blog post on it. We were planning to put some guidance together on this, but basically, the way people have been doing it to date, or the way that you can do it that's pretty clean, is actually to have two different websites.
Okay.
And then you just deploy to one or deploy to the other,
okay.
Based on whatever environment you're in.
Right.
And we even have a way to configure the node configuration such that depending, like we have a YAML file with some config information, and you could even tweak that and say, hey, depending on the environment that you're in, these are the things you get. But what's also nice, why I like that model of having two different sites, is because when you're in a site like here, GB Test, I can go to the Configure tab. And in the Configure tab, I can put things, like from a node perspective, the only thing that really matters is adding these app settings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very common that when I'm in staging, like my database and all these other things are going to be different than what they are in production.
Right.
So this actually works very cleanly to use those as two different sites.
That's
but absolutely what you could do is just have two different sites that now point to different branches in the same repo.
Excellent.
So yeah.
Okay.
I think it's pretty nice.
Cool. Good options. And have you seen people like do a manual DNS change? Like I said, if they have staging in production and they push staging to staging and production to production, and then the next time they kind of push staging to production.
Oh, you mean doing like the VIP swap
kind of thing?
We don't have that support yet, but one of the things that's important to mention that we rolled out with Windows Azure recently for websites is the ability for you to have your own domain name.
Right.
So when you come in to scale, you have different scale models you're able to use now.
Mm-hmm.
You can use free, you can use shared, and you can use reserved.
Mm-hmm.
If you use shared, there's a cost associated with it, but you actually can have your own dedicated
domain
names. So that could certainly satisfy that problem.
Okay.
As long as you have a DNS that's easy for you to swap,
you
could basically utilize that for doing that VIP swap thing.
Nice.
But it's certainly an interesting thing to think about for the future. It would be nice to have this kind of staging production thing baked in. Because when I talk to a lot of people about Windows Azure, even our paths that we have for web roles and worker roles, when people hear about that VIP swap thing, they really think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, especially for larger scale type environments, that ability to just say, okay, I'm going to deploy this thing, and if it looks good, I'm just going to swap it and make it live.
Right. If you have any thoughts on that, you meaning the community at large, if you have any thoughts on what you'd like to see in Windows Azure websites in terms of having multiple environment setups that might help you in your cause.
Absolutely.
I would love to hear about them. Feel free to put a comment on here. You can tweet me or you can tweet Glenn, who I hear is going to have an interesting Halloween costume.
We're not going to talk about that.
so,
but maybe we'll send you a photo after the
That'd be
after
good.
Fact.
That'd be good. Blackmail. That'd be good. But I have nothing else.
The only other thing is if you have any feedback about our deployment mechanism and if you think there's other kinds of things we need to support. One of the interesting things, by the way, I learned in China is they just recently launched this. Which I'll just drop it as a mention. Git Cafe is a local GitHub in China. Now, some people see this and they're like, oh, why are they doing this? Why aren't they just using GitHub? But reality is the GitHub infrastructure is just not really there in China. So they're really coming along and saying, hey, we want to have open source, we want to have this kind of goodness here, mm-hmm. and they've kind of created their own thing. So I'd love to see something like this also, you know, for people that are in China when they're using Windows Azure, they can deploy there. So if you live in a place where there's any specific kinds of deployment tools that you're using that you think we should be adding support for, we'd love to hear from you.
Indeed. Well, I have nothing else for Glenn, other than it's really nice to have you back. It's nice to see you in Redmond again.
It's great to finally be on the show with you, my friend.
Indeed. I've been bugging him since my first week here to get on the show, and I think he's canceled 3 times.
Four.
But he's a busy man. He's got to go all over the place and whatever. So it's nice to have him on the show. I'm going to officially welcome him back, give him the Channel 9 welcome, and ask that you give him a round of applause for making it back safely. And hopefully,
it's great to be back.
Good. Well, hopefully we'll have him on the show to talk about some other things, and we'll have to go get coffee again soon. That'd be fun.
Absolutely.
So, well, thanks a lot for listening and for giving Glenn your time.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
The way, this is the shirt from that event, in case you're wondering. This is WhoJS.
WhoJS. So that's who?
Yes.
Who?
That's who.
Who?
Okay. Yes, who? Who's on first? Right. We need to...
Sorry, I had to throw it in
is,
there.
It is pretty lame, but you know. That's how we roll.
Awesome. And we'll welcome Corey back next week from his travels as well. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Bye.